Officially, we haven't seen.
It's a refreshing thing to see.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's call this meeting of the House Veterans and Emergency Services Committee to order. We're a little shorthanded today, but we do have an official quorum. So in respect for all of you folks who are here on time, we will go ahead and start. And I am going to open, first of all, a public hearing on House Bill 2032. And I will let folks know that it is my intention, unless something changes my mind along the way, that we'll probably move to work session on all of these bills today. So we have signed up to talk about 2032, Velda Rogers and General Caldwell. Thank you. And the ever welcome Paul Evans.
Yes, we'll step on my.
Whomever would like to start, please go ahead.
Madam Chairman, my name is Velda Rogers. I am the chairperson of the Military Assistance Panel of the Oregon State Bar. I am not here, however, representing the Oregon State Bar. The MAP group actually is the one who drafted this particular legislation, and we did it for a specific purpose. Since 2004, when the MAP group was originally formed, we have had 320 referrals for various areas of law. At this point, there are areas of law that we simply do not have sufficient people in, and we have not been able to attract them to do this pro bono as the circumstances exist now. With the activation of the 41st, we're going to have considerably more people who are going to be in need of assistance by attorneys, and we simply are not going to have attorneys in specific areas where we have the highest level of referrals to help those people if we cannot in some way attract additional people. I have provided you with a breakdown of the referrals since 2004 by areas of law, as well as the number of attorneys on my panel who specialize in those particular areas. You will notice, for example, that in the family law area, we had 165 referrals, but we only have 33 attorneys. In consumer law, there were 64, but we only have 38 attorneys. Real property and landlord-tenant are the other two that have the largest amount of referrals, and while at the moment those two have sufficient attorneys who are willing to take the cases, the people in family law and consumer law are simply overwhelmed, and they're burning out. We have made a number of attempts since I have been the chairperson to get additional people. We have sent out blanket emails to the members of the bar. We have gone to the annual conferences that these specific groups have and requested that people volunteer. And during my tenure, we have had a total increase in the panel of about 20 people. But we've also had people drop off of the panel because they are simply overwhelmed with their own practice as well as pro bono. In addition, the panel requires that for every time that you have a referral, that you have to do a minimum of 2 hours of pro bono work. So when somebody calls, if they have a simple question, it may only take half an hour. But if they have a complicated case, it can take considerably longer than that. And to date, none of the people on my panel have been charging people for any additional work that they have done above and beyond the 2 hours that's required. When we were here last discussing this, and please correct me if I misspeak, Madam Chairman, but I believe you indicated that revenue was talking about $300,000 impact on this. Is that correct?
I believe we have a fiscal here in front of us that indicates 0.15 mil for 09-10 and 0.15 estimate for the next year. So, yes, talking about a $300,000 fiscal impact for a biennium.
That amount
is the estimate.
Is not anywhere close to accurate. As you can see from the breakdown, there are areas here where people didn't even get referrals. And there are large areas where people didn't get referrals.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the 113, if we just look at the breakdown here, we're talking about 33 in family law who potentially could qualify, 38 in consumer law that potentially could qualify. And the other areas where we have the largest groups, we have people in there. We have more than one attorney in each one of those for each one of these referrals. So the likelihood is that the number of people in that particular section would not, at least with the information we have now, be getting referrals or getting enough referrals to be able to qualify for this particular tax credit. Part of what I've provided you as well deals with the location of where these attorneys are who are on my panel. And you will see that the majority of them are in Eugene, Salem, and Portland, with Lake Oswego coming in that area as well. So if somebody, for example, from Lakeview has a problem, they don't have an attorney in that area that they can turn to. They would have to deal with somebody in Bend, or they would have to either deal with the attorney by phone or travel long distances in order to be able to have an attorney to help them. What we're trying to do here is simply get enough people on board to be able to help the soldiers who need the help. And the bar does not have the resources to give tax credits or anything along those lines. They don't have any other things that they can do as well. They have a voluntary pro bono program where if you file a report that, in fact, you can get recognition at the end of the year for the number of hours that you have done. But most people don't want to fill those forms out for any number of reasons. So we come to you, because this is the only other alternative that we have at this point of being able to bring those people in to the system. And I'm sure you're aware that there are...
One moment. The buzzing indicates that someone's phone is activated, and it does interfere with our recording equipment.
Madam Chair, that might have been me turning mine off.
It was not necessary to make a confession, but I...
I try to
be
honest.
Appreciated.
Madam
Thank you very much.
For a change, you can't look this way because I left mine in my office.
I wasn't looking.
Started when I brought mine out to power it off. I will take the blame.
Thank you. We apologize for the interruption.
Not a problem. Confession is good for the soul, so they say. We would like you to take a look at this bill specifically to get us the help that we need. We want to continue with what we have done for, at this point, in excess of 4 years, which is to help the people who are in the field not have to worry about what's going on back home. And if any of you have any questions?
Any questions? Did you gentlemen... Oh.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Brigadier General Mike Caldwell, Deputy Director at the Oregon Military Department, and I will tell you, we support the bill. We were very delighted when the bar first approached us 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and wanted to see what they could do to help, particularly the families of the soldiers who are deployed. As you can see from the listing of statistics that have been provided, you know, over 50% of the issues are family-related law issues, which I don't know if that's on the front end, during, or post-deployment, but it's certainly related to that. Don't need to tell you that there aren't enough resources to go around. It seems like a pittance when it comes down to it, but I understand the situation that we're dealing with. We're having the same problem. If we had the lawyers internally in our Judge Advocate General staff, we would do that. We don't. We have actually two full-time lawyers and two legal assistants that the federal government pays for, most of which is dealing strictly with soldiers, not families. Only if they can find the time will they deal with the families, unless it's criminal activity or life-threatening or some sort like that. So generally speaking, this has been the outreach that the families have been used to use this program. So we're grateful, we're thankful, we're certainly mindful of the situation that you're all facing. I don't know, that impact seemed awfully high to me if they only have 113 lawyers. If you doubled it, you only have 226 at $1,000 a year. So, again, I don't know what that does. I'm not an accountant. So that would take a smarter revenue person, I think, to sort that out. But I would recommend you do pass the bill on to revenue. I think that's where it has to go, and I recommend you do that. And just point out, as was pointed out earlier, that if you look at where these lawyers are, where these attorneys are who are donating this time and effort, you get out of the Willamette Valley, you got five in Southern Reagan and five in Eastern Reagan.
Thank you. I think the... for your information and the place to work the details out will be in revenue, which is where this will be recorded.
So I'll answer any questions.
There is an explanation of the reasoning that has to do with the potentially eligible taxpayers has been as high as 150. Recent years has fallen to about 100. And then they're sort of moving on to the assumption about growth and leaving that at an estimate number to claim the credit, roughly 150, which doesn't really take into consideration the geographical issues that you've outlined. It basically is what we could do to meet the need, which is probably the only thing fiscal has to go on to make those things. But there are extra copies of that explanation. I happen to have two in this particular file. So you could certainly get a copy of that easily enough to work through referral. Okay. Are there questions?
Yeah, and I apologize for coming in a little bit late. You may have already covered this, but I notice on the list I only have one in my whole district and one in Cannon Beach. So I'm just wondering how are other attorneys made aware of this opportunity to do? And I'm just wondering if you tell me who it is so I don't bother them, but I can hit the rest of them. Because I've got a lot of attorneys in the rest of my district.
What we have done since I have been the chairperson is to send out blanket emails to the various sections of the Oregon State Bar explaining what the Military Assistance Panel does and asking for volunteers. We have attended the various sections' annual meetings, and especially the family law and consumer law sections, where our greatest demand is, and ask for volunteers. And basically, you know, if we know somebody who is working in that area, then we go to them and ask them to talk to the people in that, you know, that they know in that particular area as well. We've tried as much as possible to get the word out before doing anything further to try to get the numbers up. And we've had, since I have been the chairperson, about 20 additional people who have volunteered.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sure these details are going to get worked out later in revenue, but just for my own mind here, 113 attorneys, that number represents the attorneys that have expressed they would participate, but not necessarily the number that would have qualified with their work thus far, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Good point. Are there any other questions? Thank you very much. We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2032, and I will open a work session on House Bill 2032 and remind the committee that this does have a subsequent referral to revenue. Do I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Representative Escobell.
Sure. Madam Chair, I make a motion that we send House Bill 2032 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation with a referral to the Revenue Committee.
There's a motion for passage of House Bill 2032 and its subsequent referral to Revenue. Is there any further discussion? Representative Cobb?
Chair Cowan, thank you. I am going to be supporting this bill. Sitting on the Ways and Means Committee, I certainly understand the difficulties that we're facing with the current deficit. And I think, yes, we are going to send some bills to Revenue and Ways and Means that are going to be difficult. But I think we need to at least have that discussion happen in those rooms also.
Thank you, Representative Comp. I share your concern, knowing that it's difficult for us to move any bills forward that have these kinds of fiscal impacts, and knowing that Revenue is taking a very close look this time on any expansion of tax existing tax credits or any new ones. But there are a few things that are worthy of consideration, and I appreciate this committee being judicious about that, so that those that we do move forward are ones that we seriously feel should be seriously considered. With that, could the clerk call the roll, please? Sorry, we couldn't hear you.
Representative
Sloan?
Aye.
Escobar?
Aye.
Calm?
Aye.
Ryan?
Aye.
There's a well thought out decision.
Aye.
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 Aye. Committee, thank you very much. And Representative Riley, for the record, we just moved House Bill 2032
yes,
to Revenue. Okay.
He was picking up the tab too. Wasn't that the?
Madam
Chair,
I have closed the work session on House Bill 2032.
We should have informed Representative Riley. We just put 4 nuclear-powered plants in his district, and he was what?
Thank you very much, Representative.
Good.
I would like to now open a public hearing, on House Bill 2176.
And, Madam Chair, I actually did know what I was voting on.
Thank you, sir. I'm sure that you do. Mr. Willis, who needs to be somewhere else, so I
Chair,
think
Chair Cowan, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jim Willis. I'm director of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. I'm here today in support of House Bill 2176, which is an agency housekeeping bill drafted to make minor adjustments to the eligibility requirements for those seeking an appointment to the Governor's Veterans Advisory Committee, or Veterans Affairs Advisory Committee, excuse me. You'll remember this bill was heard in public hearing in this committee on February the 5th. As you'll recall, the Advisory Committee works with the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs in an advisory capacity and consists of 9 members chosen from throughout the state. Under current statute ORS 406-210, the Governor will appoint 9 members, all of whom are war veterans as defined by statute. The governor's appointment shall represent each war era, with at least 1 member being from the Korean conflict, and at least 3 members shall be from the period following the Korean conflict. House Bill 2176 eliminates these specific requirements, allowing the appointment of any veteran, not just specific war era veterans. We believe that this will give flexibility to choose the best veterans to serve on the advisory committee. That being said, we are absolutely committed to maintaining diversity of era, gender, and geography in our appointments so that all Oregon veterans are fairly represented. I'd like to thank you for your consideration of this bill, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Willis. I believe you have answered the questions that were raised in committee the last time. Are there any additional questions? Anyone else who'd like to testify on this bill? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2176 and open a work session on House Bill 2176. And I'd entertain a motion.
Madam Chair.
Representative Riley. I looked that way first.
I move House Bill 2176 to the floor with due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? If we could call the roll, please.
Representative Boone.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Kahn.
Aye.
Riley.
Aye.
Wedner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Matthews.
Excuse.
Turkellen.
Aye. I'd like to pass this to the consent calendar. We have no opposition, I don't think. I'm sure that there was. We'll come, if we could reopen this a little later to get Representative Matthews' bill, then we could make that vote. We could
it
make
has
that
no
decision.
Fiscal has no revenue impact at all.
Needs a unanimous vote. So let's sort of put that one aside and make sure that I remember that way to come back to it. Thank you. I'll close the work session on House Bill 2176 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2166.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And with apologies for not allowing you the opportunity before, could you remind us of what this bill is, please, Mr. Molina?
I'm sorry about that.
That's fine. Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2166 directs State Forester to serve as Governor's Authorized Representative for Fire Management Assistance Grants.
Well, there's a surprise. General Caldwell and Mr. Murphy.
I'm window dressing.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ken Murphy, the Director of Oregon Emergency Management, and as we know, we've heard this bill before. This one just briefly moves the authority of the governor's authorized rep to sign the appropriate documentation in dealing with the fire management assistance grants, which is under the Department of Forestry, just streamlining the process. And it is just that simple, making it easier to work instead of having it between our two offices. Even though we still work together on it, it just streamlines the process.
Would it be fair to classify this bill as housekeeping as well?
It would be fair, Madam Chair.
That is my intention. Any questions on this bill? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2166 and open a work session on House Bill 2166. Is there a motion?
Madam Chair.
Representative Bradley.
I move House Bill 2166 to the floor with due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? The clerk can call the roll, please.
Representative Boone.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Aye.
Riley.
Aye.
Wedner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Matthews.
Aye.
Turkellen. Aye. House Bill 2166 passes with a unanimous approval, and I would recommend that it be moved to the consent calendar. Committee, with your permission, I would like to reopen the work session on House Bill 2176 for the purpose of allowing Representative Matthews to cast his vote. Is there any objection? Representative Matthews.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Aye.
Thank you. If you could so record the unanimous vote for House Bill 2176, and then I think that we are free to pass that one along to consent as well. We'll close the work session on 2176. Oh, I get to play with this camera. This is such fun. I'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2167.
It's your birthday, Madam Chair.
That's right. I get to do whatever I want today.
Really? Yeah.
Birthday.
29.
Oh, it's much. We are in public hearing on House Bill 2167, and we are not entertaining other questions. Gentlemen.
Yes, ma'am.
Are we ready to move on to 2167 rapidly?
Head them out.
Oh, would you like to remind us of the subject? I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2167 modifies timing of payment of certain administrative expenses of Office of Emergency Management from monies in emergency communications account.
And we will remind folks that this one has had the fiscal referral removed. Is that correct? Mr. Murphy.
I'm going to let General Caldwell start first.
Oh, excuse me.
Members of the committee, for the record, Brigadier General Mike Caldwell, Deputy Director of the Military Department, and the proud partners with Emergency Management is one of our agencies. This bill, I think, is fairly straightforward. It's not going to surprise anybody. The reason I wanted to start off this discussion, however, was that you'll notice in the bill, in 2168, which is coming up, is similar housekeeping, which is probably the appropriate term, I think, for both of these. This actually helps the agency manage our money better if we can do it under these situations rather than the way that it's currently written in statute. But it also, on line 14 on the front page, you'll notice that it's 4% of that fund is allowed for, for administration or for other purposes inside the agency. So we can pull off 4%, which has traditionally been a challenge to manage the activities of the department. And one of the things that we did not do when we brought OEM into the Oregon Military Department was we did not increase our accounting staff, our personnel staff, or any of that. We absorbed that impact, and it's really been an impact. Now, of course, this session, it's going to be virtually impossible. We're going to be cutting people. We're not going to be adding people. So, and this may be a little bit too little too late, but I'm not so certain that we weren't missing an opportunity here to examine that 4% and perhaps raise that to 5% so we could have efficient or enough money that we can actually do this work as opposed to relying on what we currently rely on inside the military department, which is general funds and federal funds. Most of the people that I have doing accounting and personnel work, I charge the federal funds that we have, or the what we call federal-state agreements, and we charge a fee for that. We haven't been charging OEM that fee because they didn't have it. So there was no point in trying to squeeze blood out of a turnip. So we decided that we would absorb it and do the best we could, but it certainly had a negative impact on us. So I would open that up for your thoughts and your questions, and that can continue on with the rest of the bill. I might also add that some of the distribution, we've tried diligently. The Office of Emergency Management got behind in their disbursements to the counties and the cities and the different special districts that run 911 throughout the state when we took them over. We've worked extremely hard to make sure that every bit of this money is transparent to the locals. We publish it so everybody can see everybody else's numbers. And we got caught up, and it took a lot of effort to get that caught up, just based on the way that, the relationship was between them and the county office and the state police and disconnects. Lack of limitation was one big issue because they misguessed what the money would be. And so there was all kinds of issues that we had to kind of untangle initially. It's smoothed out now. We've got great relationships, and I think that the locals are very, very pleased that they have this visibility and they have this transparency, but that is taking a toll on us. It's not been as simple as it might seem. So I would highly recommend that we have that discussion, particularly when we're servicing 50 separate public service answering points in the 36 counties. That too is, in my mind, needs to be looked at, and I think that it's going to be looked at. I think regardless of whether we like it or not, I think we're going to have to look at how we can do consolidations. And more so, I think, I've heard different figures, and I don't know that I have. That's not mine. I shut it off. I don't know. I do not know what the outcome will be, but I've heard two different figures. One is that this 911 money to the locals provides roughly 50% of their total cost of their public service answering point. I heard yesterday from their lobbyists in budget hearings that no, it's not 50%, it's only 25%. So that means that the local taxpayers and local governments are picking up 75%, if that's accurate. So somewhere between 50 and 75, and I do not know, without probably examining all 50 of their books, what is the right number, but it's substantial local impact to run these very valuable services. And I think it's incumbent on us as the as the state of Oregon, in partnership with the local governments, to examine ways that we can do that better. And I've also challenged the lobby group to do that, their own association. I said, you need to do that. I think they're listening, and I think they're interested in trying to figure that out. But it's not going to be an easy task, as you all know. It's going to be a difficult task because we are talking traditional long-term stovepipes, fiefdoms, kingdoms, whatever you want to call them. And they're there, they're alive, they're well, and that's going to be difficult. But I think truly it should be done, and should be looked at. I'll be quiet and let Ken tell you what the rest of the bill says.
Thank you. I think I'd like to lay out a question before you give your presentation, Ken, and then you can address it as you go along. I've heard a couple of things in your presentation. One is that you probably should have made an effort to increase the administrative cap to 5%. So I guess this bill, until we move it out of this committee, still lays out a vehicle for that discussion. If you would like to ask that we not move it forward today and that you look at an amendment that could adjust that, this would provide you a vehicle for it. So that's one question. And the second is you raise a very valid point about the need to examine the advisability of consolidation of the number of public safety answering points. Actually, this is question number 2 of 3. And I am very familiar with the challenges of that particular process, and I won't go into the detail at this point, but so I guess that's question number 2, is whether or not this is the appropriate vehicle for that. And if it is, then you have a whole different bill that we're going to be talking about and a great deal more work. And the third question I have is that the use of the 911 fund to accommodate these things that you're directly talking about in the current rebalance that we're looking at for the 07-09 biennium, that is one of the many fund shifts that's been proposed in the Ways and Means or the co-chair's budget to help offset our current deficit. And so I guess the third question is if you would address that there's still adequate, even with that fund shift of, I think, about $3 million, that there's adequate
3.5,
money to meet
the
needs.
I'm sorry? 3.5, I believe it is. 3.5 or 3.1?
You just happen to have that 3.5 off the top of your head.
Yeah, for the current biennium, it's 3.5.
8.1.
And 8.1 is being proposed by the governor in his governor's recommended budget.
That's a kind of a secondary conversation.
Correct.
About the 09-11.
The 3.5 million in this budget,
yeah,
is coming out of one account, which is the, give me the right terminology, the enhanced 911 account.
Right.
Currently, there's $7.5 million in that account. That's 35. That account receives funds out of the total collection. They get 35% of that 75 cents a month we all pay on these phones that are making all this noise. 35% of that 75 cents goes into that account. It accumulates up to, you know, typically I think the average carryover into the bienniums, if I remember right, in the last two bienniums, been around $4 to $5 million. It can get as much as probably close to $10 million during the biennium. And that money is distributed out to local public service answering points to enhance 911 so they can do the reverse 911 and the enhanced 911. We had, Ken's 911 shop had approximately around $2 million worth of projects that could have been executed in this particular fiscal year.
I'm sorry, what was the total?
$2 million out of that 7.5. Probably, with a little bit of effort, you could have probably executed most of it. But that $2 million was pretty much could have gone out fairly rapidly. We were advised by Legislative Fiscal Office not to do that, pull back, which we did, and we did not pursue executing that $2 million out of the 7.5. So at the end of the day, if you follow those numbers, we will carry over into the 09-011 biennium $4 million in that account. And there will be, that would be spread out across the 50 PSAPs. that have requirements to upgrade their equipment. So it's there, it's going to stay there, or the legislature is going to move 3.5 out. There's legal questions that are being pondered presently about what the impacts might be by moving that money based on federal legislation that passed in 2008, and that could have some negative impacts toward the state with respect to grant monies that may be available to the state through the federal government. That seems to be what the lobby suggests will happen. We don't have a legal opinion yet. We've asked DOJ for it. They're working it. We should have a, I would think by the first of the week, we'll have a pretty good idea what our lawyers say the impact will be. That answers part of your question.
That it. I think that's good information for the committee to have, and the question that rolls into this bill is, it does sound like there's adequate money in the 911 fund to.
Madam Chairman, I would certainly recommend that we do ask for an amendment to put that 4% to 5%. I would also follow your lead and your hint, I should say, that I don't think we want to expand this bill into the consolidation discussion, because that will certainly lard it up and make it slow moving, let's put it that way. And I don't think we want to do that. However, I do believe, whether it happens in this committee as a policy committee, which I think is a very good place to start the discussion, or we do it in the budget committee in Ways and Means, I really truly believe that we have the responsibility to take a look at this and see what we can do. If no other reason, and I'm not suggesting one way or the other, whether or not the $8.1 million that the governor suggested should or shouldn't be there, that's your decision, that's his recommendation, I support it. That's my job, and I do support it. But on the same token, I know what it's like at the local level. And if they're paying 75% of these costs, I can't fathom in this particular economic circumstance that they wouldn't look for a way to try to reduce those costs while at the same time providing the necessary service to the citizens of the state.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Murphy.
Madam Chair, the content of this, and first I would concur with General Caldwell, in raising this to 5%. We're barely keeping the program running and with the people that we have, and in fact, we've asked for additional people a couple times in this particular area to help specifically with the management of the public safety answering points, the GIS mapping, and trying to deal with the emerging technologies that are out there. It does require a lot, and implementing a lot of the new laws that affect voice over the internet, which relates back to the federal law that General Caldwell mentioned, the New Technologies 211 Act that was passed last year. And I would just also comment on the fund shift of the monies to deal with. We did have projects, and one I've actually testified before this committee in its original formation when it was a joint committee, was reverse 911 for the entire state, which we don't have. And so that was still is one of my pet projects, because it's very successful in Tillamook County, which has it. As Representative Boone knows, it made big differences in the flooding that takes place in Tillamook County. Back to this bill. As a reminder, this was administrative housekeeping to move the quarters, to move into the availability of my office to use the money in the current quarter to pay the administrative costs for our needs. The way it's written in law right now, we have to deficit spend from some other accounts and then wait till the end of the quarter to use the money. So this is really trying to clean up the accounting procedures where we can use the money in the original account that was attended, this 4% account, to pay for our supplies and services and payroll of our people.
Thank you. I guess I need some clarification because I can't read this whole bill quickly enough. Is it in this particular statute? Is this where the change would be made if you were to change from 4 to 5%?
Yes, Madam Chair.
That being said, then, do you want to hold on to this bill for a little longer and consider making that change?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. It would be line 14, page 1, line 14, and it would just change the word from 4 to 5.
Yes. Sorry, I couldn't pick that out quickly enough.
I actually thought it was in the next bill you're going to see, too, because it's the same statutory section, but it isn't there. So.
Any other questions on this bill?
I just want to have a, I need a clarification. So this allow, if you went from 4%, the 4% of the 75 cents to 5% of the 75%, 75 cents per line, that, and that money then goes to the local agencies to provide enhanced 911 services like reverse 911?
Madam Chair, Representative Boone, this particular 4% is the money that comes to my office to pay for the 911 staff that's in Oregon Emergency Management.
Okay.
The Madam Chair, Representative Boone, the 35% of the 75 cents goes into the enhanced account.
Right.
Which then provides money to do that these upgrades.
Okay.
So that's a total of 40, which leaves 60% left of those dollars to go primarily to the operations of the 50 PSAPs.
Any other questions today? Okay. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2167. I'm not going to move to work session today.
Thank you.
We can talk about what it is that you might want to do. And I'm just going to put on a request that when this bill comes back again, if you could put something in writing or give us some clarity to help the committee understand the 911 fund, the sources of it, and where it goes and where the various percentages go, I would appreciate your help with that.
Madam Chair, we have some great information that we can give
out,
to
yeah.
you and the committee members to see this visually and in writing.
We're out of public hearing on this bill specifically, but a question from the committee or a comment for the good of the overall discussion would be entertained at this time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering if changing that that money in this bill would cause a referral that it doesn't currently have.
And I would clarify that there's currently a Ways and Means referral. We have requested that to be rescinded, but we haven't had an answer to that, so that probably needs to be taken into consideration as you determine how this bill proceeds, but it's not ready to proceed today.
We'll work with your able committee administrator to sort those out so we can get it back up and come to you with a full-scale package to understand what we're doing here.
Okay. Thank you. Committee, we're going to take a very brief recess. If you could stand at ease, there's an amendment for the next bill that needs to be given to Mr. Murphy, I think.
He's got it.
So we're at ease. back into session. We are going to very briefly open a public hearing on House Bill 2168 for the purpose of distributing some proposed amendments that just came to light for this bill. But it is my understanding that the folks who might be concerned about that have not had an opportunity to review this amendment, and because they relate to a variety of ORSs that you might take out or leave in, I think those are the sorts of things that we need to study carefully. Unless there is anyone here who would like to offer testimony on this bill today, seeing none, I am going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2168. And if there is no other business to come before the committee, stand adjourned. Thank you very much.
Now, sir, you can shut that off.
I guess so. I want to see what 37
you want this, then?
Yes, so okay. I was.
You figure it out.